you sung our praises to him. And he wants to bless us so much. I'm going to ask Pastor Tolu to come now and just give us the word that the Lord has laid on his heart. And let's see where we go after that. God bless you, Pastor Tolu.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. Father, right now, we still our hearts in your presence. Your word says, be still and know that I am God. As we still our hearts right now, show yourself, God. As we focus on you, as we have prayed, as we have praised, show yourself, God. Father, let the entrance of your word give light. Let our understanding be open to hear from you right now. Let your name be glorified. And let we, your people, be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? To fellowship with one another and to hear what God has got to say. You know, we should always be encouraged when we come to God's house to hear from him, shouldn't we? Because God speaks. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, well, you sound like you're not convinced. God speaks, amen?
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Because if he speaks, then we should always be prepared and ready and eager to hear from him. My prayer right now is that God will speak to us. Every one of us here, God will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is Keep Me From Evil. I have three verses that I want to read from various portions of Scripture. So I'm going to read them, and I believe they're also up there for you there, I think, on the next slide. I'll read them. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. John 17, verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Keep me from evil. Three verses, three prayers that we've just read. See the verses up there if you want to make notes of them. Three verses, three prayers. And it's interesting that in those three verses, those three prayers, one theme that comes out from all of them is this whole idea or concept of being kept or delivered from evil. In the first passage we read, first verse, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, that's the prayer of Jabez. And it's interesting, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. Jabez is one of these Bible characters that we know very little about. We know so little about him. He was more honorable than his brothers, and we know why his mother gave him the name Jabez. But because of the prayer he prayed, because of the situation in which he found himself and the prayer he prayed, you know, people preach about this guy and talk about him so much, yet we know very little about him. But one phrase that was in his prayer there was, keep me from evil. A number of things he said, but that is one phrase that I want to bring out in this message today, keep me from evil. The second passage we read, John 17, verse 15. That's Jesus praying for his disciples before he left. And if you read the whole of John chapter 17, you realize that he also prayed for everyone who would believe in him. And I find that such a blessing that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus has prayed for you. Amen?
Amen.
He prayed a number of things for his disciples. But one thing he said here is this. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you keep them from the evil one.
Yeah.
Very specific, very pointed prayer to be kept from evil. And the last passage we read, Matthew 6 verse 13. We're sure all familiar with that. That's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Yeah? Hallowed be thy name. And it goes on there to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from... Some versions might say, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil or from the evil one. Three verses. Three prayers. And I believe, people of God, when we see verses like this, passages like this in the scripture, it's wise for us, therefore, to also pray these prayers. You see, let me tell you one thing. When you see prayers in the Bible, and you pray them within context, you can't go wrong. Because what you're doing is that you're praying God's will. You are praying God's words. And when you pray God's will and his word, when it's in accordance with his will, he answers your prayer. So when we see these three prayers, and we see the circumstances under which they were prayed, and we apply them to our lives, people, I believe that God, in his grace and mercy and by his power, he will act. But our central theme, therefore, is this. That we're kept from evil. You see, there's so much evil going on in the world, so you don't even need me to tell you this. So much evil going on in the world. Whether it's all the knife crime and the stabbings, whether it's people committing all kinds of sin and godlessness, whether it's harm or danger coming to people, there's so much evil going on in the world today. I was watching, I think it's Question Time on BBC One on Thursday, and there was a woman there who was in the audience. She was really having a go at the politicians on the stage about this whole thing about knife crime. She was so passionate about it. And I watched it again, just that clip of her, I watched it again and again and again. And it just makes you think, so much evil going on. So much so that she was crying out her heart, saying, you know, parents shouldn't be burying their children, which I certainly agree with. It shouldn't be parents burying children. It should be children burying their parents. But there's so much wrong going on and so much evil that people feel so passionate about it. What's going to happen? When is this going to change? Why is this affecting so many people? Sometimes people feel scared just going across the road because you don't know what's going to happen. But people, we have the solution and we have the answer. The answer is in our God, because he's our protector, he's our keeper. We've just been praying this whole week about sudden death or sudden loss. God is our keeper, amen? He's the one who keeps us from every evil, from every arrow, from every attack of the enemy. Whether it's personal loss, whether it's death, whatever it may be, it is God who keeps us. And therefore, as we cry out to him, just like Jabez cried out to him, we cry out to him in truth, in sincerity. He will answer.
Yeah.
That is one interesting thing, and I'm going to come back to this later on. That's one interesting thing about the prayer of Jabez. He prayed that prayer, and then it ends by saying that God answered him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
God answered him. We serve a God who answers prayers.
Okay.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, people of God. We serve a God who comes through for his people. Jabez cried out to God, it says, and God answered him. Let me encourage you, people of God. Why don't you cry out to God? Why don't you seek his face? Why don't you implore him? And he will answer you. He will come through for you in a mighty, in a miraculous, and in a powerful way. But you know what? It starts off by us praying or crying out to him.
Yeah.
You see, if Jabez hadn't cried out to God, would God have answered that prayer? Come on, help me out, people of God. If Jabez hadn't cried out to God, would he have been rescued from his situation? People, it starts out with a cry. God wants to hear your prayer. God wants to hear your cry. God wants to hear what you are saying, and he will act on your behalf. Perhaps, and I include myself in this, perhaps the situations in which we find ourselves is because of our lack of prayer. Just the thoughts. And like I said, I include myself in that. I'm not here standing being holier than thou. Perhaps the situation in which we find ourselves at times is due to our lack of prayer. I'll leave that thought with you. What is evil? Evil is just that act of doing that which is wrong or bad. Evil is that act of doing something that causes sadness. It could cause sadness, pain, misery, misfortune. And evil, and this is very interesting key, evil is something that is against God. You see, because when we talk about keeping from evil, you can look at this in two ways. You can look at this as evil coming to someone, so something evil happening to them. You can also look at it as the person themselves doing something evil. Now, whichever way you look at it, the aim of the whole thing, the aim of both strands, if you like, is the same thing, and that is to draw the believer away from God. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What happens? God told them, of all these trees you can eat except a particular one, yeah? And then the serpent came to them and deceived them. And told them, you know what, no, that's not true. God knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll be so wise and so on and so forth. And they ate from that tree. What then happens? Adam and Eve, who the Bible tells us, the man and his wife, they were both naked and they were not ashamed. When they ate of that tree, they realized now that they were naked and they hid themselves. But that is not even the end of the story. If you read it through, you realize that Adam and Eve then had to leave the Garden of Eden because of their disobedience. Because they had done this evil thing by disobeying God and eating of the forbidden fruits. The point is this. Evil causes us, if we're not careful, to draw away from God. It causes us to lose the presence of God. It causes us to lose the good. You see, the psalmist says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say, Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. But it says there, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There is a place where we find ourselves, where we get the protection and the blessings of God. And the thing about evil is that it will cause us to move away from where we get the blessing. It causes us to move away from where we have the security in which our God gives us. And that is why we pray, God, keep us from evil. And it's interesting when you read through scripture, when someone, for example, is possessed with a demon, sometimes scripture says they have an evil spirit. The devil himself is referred to as the evil one. Let me say this, people. God does not give us evil. Amen? Understand one thing. God does not give us evil. At times when we rebel, when we move away from his covering, we expose ourselves to evil. But that's not God doing it. That's us. Because of our sin. We expose ourselves to evil. But when we cry out to this God in his grace and mercy, he comes and covers us. God is not the author of evil. And he's not called evil. It's the devil who's called the evil one. So interesting, when we talk about being kept from evil, we're also asking God to keep us from all the attacks of the enemy. Yes. Asking God to keep us from everything and anything that would cause us to draw away from the presence of our God. You see, one thing that evil does as well is this. Just like I mentioned about Adam and Eve in the garden, it causes us to question, is God really there? It makes at times us think, does God really care for you? Is God really by your side? Look at what's happening to you. Are you sure God is really there? And if we're not careful, if we don't have our minds washed and sanctified by the words, the devil then begins to put thoughts in our minds, evil thoughts in our minds. And if we're not careful, we see ourselves drawing away from God. That is why we need to bring our minds captive to the obedience of Christ. That is why we need to sanctify our minds and set our minds, as the Bible tells us, on things that are above, not things that are here on earth. People, the devil is really against God's people. And I'm not saying this to be devil conscious. I'm saying this to be more God conscious, aware of what God can do.
Yeah.
We're in a battle. But you know what? Just as we've been singing, hallelujah, you have won the victory. Hallelujah, you have won it all for me. The victory, who wins? Because of the work of the cross, and it's not where I'm coming from when I say this, who wins is up to you. Amen? Who wins is up to you. Because God has done his part by sending his Son to die for us, to be the propitiation for our sin, to be the one who carries away the weight of our sin. God has done his part. What we need to do is to accept what God has done. To accept it and to live in it. And that is why the outcome of the battle is therefore now peak of God is down to you. It's a challenge, therefore, for each and every one of us. But it's a challenge that God, by his grace and mercy, allows us to do. So let's look at what we mean when we say, Lord, keep me from evil. Let me go back again to the prayer of Jabez in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, this isn't really a sermon per se about the prayer of Jabez, because you could spend months even teaching and preaching about the prayer of Jabez if you break it down into a number of strands. But let's go back and just look a little bit about Jabez to make us understand why he prayed the prayer he did. Scripture tells us that Jabez, by the way, means he will cause pain. Scripture tells us that his mother gave him that name because she bore him in pain. And I believe, as I've said here before, that was a terrible thing for his mother to do. Because what his mother, in effect, did was actually cursed him. When you pronounce something negative on someone like that, that is a curse. Because his mother once had that pain that she felt to follow Jabez all his days. Therefore, she called him. She said, he will cause pain. What a name to give someone. But thank God, Jabez knew that there was a solution to the problem. Jabez knew that there was a way out. It says he was more honorable than his brothers. It says something about the man. But what we also see now is that Jabez knew that there was a way out. And his way out was to cry to God. And see what he says. Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain.
Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. That I may not cause pain. Listen, if you've ever come across someone who is a pain, sometimes when they leave, you're like, thank God that person has left. No, it's true, I'm being honest. I've worked with someone who was a pain, who thought he was only God's gift to man, him and him alone, who thought that he was the best in the world. He'd come up with some stupid phrases, I was trained by the best to be the best. And he thought that everything that happened in the office was only down to him. Let's be honest, some people are a real pain. And Jabez knew that there was a chance of him being a pain because of the name he was given. Jabez knew that there was a huge risk of him being a troublemaker, of him perhaps being an outcast, of him perhaps being someone that no one wants to talk to. But thank God he knew the solution and he applied the solution. He cried out to God, keep me from evil. In other words, God, I don't want to be a pain. I don't want to be a troublemaker. I don't want to do things that will really annoy and irritate people.
Yeah.
He prayed that prayer and the Bible tells us that God answered his prayer.
Yeah.
Keep me from evil, O God. Keep me from those things that will cause me to draw away from you. Keep me from those things that will cause me to lose sight of you, O God. Keep me also, too, from evil things happening to me.
That's right.
The psalmist says in Psalm 23, a well-known psalm, isn't it? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When David, and that was written by David, by the way, that psalm. When David faced the Philistine Goliath, before he did, he went to Saul. And he said to Saul, the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will also save me from this Philistine. David was a man as a shepherd boy. He was someone who was exposed to evil. A lion and a bear could easily have swallowed him, could easily have killed him. He was exposed to evil in that sense, but you know what? God kept him. And that was why he was able to say to Saul, "The Lord who kept me from the lion, from the bear, will also keep me from this Philistine." He knew the God he served. He knew the power that was in this God. And he knew that God was not only able, but more than able to save him, to keep him, to set him free.
That's right.
And therefore he walks in that victory. And that is why he can write such a psalm like Psalm 23 and say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm walking through death, but you know what? Nothing will happen to me.
Yeah.
I'm walking through a tough time, but you know what? Nothing will happen to me."
Yes.
It's confidence we have in our God, not in ourselves. We're not boasting or we're not being big-headed, but we know the God we serve. And see what he said, "Thou art with me."
Yeah.
That is the solution. That is why we can do it. That is why we can know victory in God.
Yes.
When we say, "Keep me from evil." So Jabez cried out to God. David knew his God.
Yeah.
And they were protected.
Amen.
From every attack that the enemy brought them. The people, I said earlier on, when we see prayers like this in Scripture, it's wise for us to apply them to our lives. You know, as I was going through this message, you notice one thing about me when I'm up here preaching. I love to talk about my wife because she's such a lovely woman of God.
Amen.
And I thank God for her. And she said to me, I showed her my sermon notes, by the way. She said to me, "Does that mean that nothing bad will happen to you when you say, 'Keep me from evil'?" And I thought, you know, well, that's such a valid question. Does that mean nothing bad will happen to you if you pray and say, "Keep me from evil"? I don't think it means that. You know, his word tells us that all things work together for good for those who love God. There are times when God closes doors in our faces and it seems like something bad is happening. But you know what? That is to the glory of God. There are times when situations come our way and we feel so downcast and sad. But when we look back at it, we know what, you know what? God did that. For if we had walked through that door that we so wanted to walk through, we would have regretted it. At times, things happen to us in our lives, in the life of a believer. It may seem like bad. It may seem like it's wrong. But you know what? It's to the glory of God.
Yes, yeah.
The thing about evil is this. As I said earlier on, it causes us to draw away from God. It causes us to lose sight of God. When God brings things our way that causes us to run to him and fall on our knees and cry out to him, that people of God can only be to his glory and to his praise. So it doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen to us, but what it means is this, people, God has always got your back. God is always with you and will see you through whatever situation you may find yourself in the name of Jesus. And God is a God who can always change any evil anyway to his good. When you read Genesis chapter 15 verse 20. To give you a summary, that's Joseph. After he had been sold into slavery, he had now been made the governor of Egypt. Had this high position. His brothers now had come to him and of course were buying grain. And then at this point, they realized who he was. Their father Jacob had since died. And they were scared, they were worried that, oh, you know what? What if Joseph now decides to take revenge over the evil that we did to him? And then he said to them in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive." Listen, my prayer for every one of us here is this. Anyone who means evil against you, God will turn it to good in the name of Jesus. Anyone who wishes something negative about you, God returns to something good in the name of Jesus. God did it for Joseph. You meant evil for me. God turned it into good. And that is the God we serve. A prayer I came across, excuse me, as I was preparing this message. It says this: God, don't allow any evil to come my way and change me to be what you don't want me to be, to lead me astray and cause me to lose your glory. Don't allow anything evil to come my way that will change me, O God, and make me be someone who loses sight of your glory, who loses sight of your power, who loses sight of who you are. Don't allow that situation, God, to come my way. And that was why Jesus prayed, didn't he, as we read earlier on, for his disciples. They're in the world. They're exposed to evil. They're exposed to all this wrong. But you know what? Jesus didn't say, Lord, take them out of the world. In fact, he did not say that. He said, look, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but I am praying that you keep them from the evil one. And then going on, that verse, John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy words is truth. People, that is how anyway we actually avoid evil coming our way. By knowing the word of God, by us washing ourselves, sanctifying ourselves by the word of God, by knowing the God that we serve, and by following him all the days of our lives. The consequences, therefore, of us doing evil, you only have to look at the account of the children of Israel after they passed into the promised land. There was this cycle which they went through. We find it, for example, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 11, a very common theme. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. It's a very common theme we see if you read through the book of Judges. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord had mercy on them and saved them. Then they forgot sin. Then they did evil in sight again. Then their enemies plundered them. They cried out to God. God saved them. And they went through that cycle so many times. But what we see, even in the book of Judges, is a God who is so gracious and so merciful and so kind. Because it says there that God was moved by their situation. He showed mercy on them. But even though God was moved by their situation and had mercy on them, see what it did to them. When they did evil in the sight of the Lord, their enemies plundered them. Their enemies came and overthrew them and dealt with them. And they were in such pain, misery, and anguish. And that is why I challenge us at times, people of God, as much as I challenge myself, perhaps the situations in which we find ourselves, why have we found ourselves there? Is it because of what we're doing? Is it because God is trying to show us something? Why do we find ourselves in those situations? And listen to me, I'm not being judgmental. I'm not coming from an angle here. You know, there are people who believe that every illness that you have is because you've sinned and God therefore is punishing you and whatever and all that. I do not believe that for a second because the scripture does not tell us that. There was a man who was born blind. The disciples of Jesus asked him, Master, why was this man born blind? Was it because he sinned or his parents sinned? And Jesus' answer was amazing. He said, it's not because anyone has sinned, but that the glory of God might be shown through him.
Yeah.
So people, we need to be careful where we just jump to the conclusion that every time everyone suffers something wrong, it's because they've sinned or because they've done something bad. It may be that God is showing his grace and mercy through their life. We may not understand it. It may not seem clear to us, but God perhaps is doing a work in that person's life. So be careful before you jump to conclusions when you see what someone is going through. But having said that, yes, there's times where we need to stop back and think, why is this happening? Is it because, yes, we need to turn to God? Is it because we've done wrong? Is it because we have left the covering of the presence of God and we've gone away and done our own thing? Is that why this is happening? Yeah, sometimes we need to step back and think about that.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, just as we prayed earlier on, we come back to God in repentance. We come back to God and say we're going to forsake those wicked, those evil ways. Because that is the condition. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. Interesting enough, the word wicked used in Scripture is the same root word as well for evil. So turn from their wicked ways, turn from their evil ways. They turn from their ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And our land needs healing, doesn't it? Our community needs healing. But that is the condition. We turn from our evil, our wicked, our idolatrous ways. Repent, turn to him, cry out to him, and he hears our cry. 2 Thessalonians, please stand with me to this. I'm going to conclude soon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. I'm going to read this and I want us to make this declaration even over our lives as well. Have we all got it? Actually, Alvin, can you have it up there? Thank you. Sorry for not telling you about that earlier on. If we can get it there, we'll read it from up there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 3. Okay. Don't worry if you can't get it, Alvin. Sorry, I should have told you about that earlier on. Have you got it in your Bible?
Yes.
Let's read it all together. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Let's read that again. Come on. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is what? Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is
faithful.
That's one thing, people. I want every one of us here to go away with today. Please, go away with that. God is faithful. He is not a man that he will lie. He's not the son of man that he will repent. Is he someone who says something and won't do it? Is he someone who says he will do a thing and then forgets? The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and he will keep you from evil. Make that declaration over your life as you go along every day of your life. This journey of life. Lord, your word says that you will establish me and keep me from evil. Just as you kept Jabez from evil, Lord, keep me from evil. Just as you prayed for your disciples and said, I pray that they're kept from the evil one, Lord, keep me from evil. Just as we say the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord, keep me from evil.
Yeah.
From anything that will stand in the way of my relationship with you, O God.
Yeah.
From any situation that will cause me to draw back from you. From that circumstance that will cause me to question, is God really with me, when in fact he is? Lord, keep us from evil. And in conclusion, people of God, I'll say this and then we're going to pray. Let's also not be the perpetrators of evil. Because his word tells us, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and all. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Let's not be perpetrators of evil. Because by being perpetrators of evil, we're in fact doing the devil's work. Why? Because he is the evil one. So let's be amongst those who do good to each other. Let's be amongst those who speak good of each other. Let's be those who minister to each other gracefully as God would give it to us. But our prayer, just like the prayer of Jabez, let's rise to our feet, please. Can the musicians please come up? Our prayer, just like the prayer of Jabez, is, Lord, keep me from evil. From anything that will cause me to be a pain, to lose sight of your glory. From anything that will prevent me from faithfully following and serving you. From anything that will cause me to be slack, to be lazy in my relationship with you. Lord, keep me from such a thing in the name of Jesus. from that which will cause me to be a pain, to be a troublemaker, to be a hated person. Lord, keep me in the name of Jesus. Why don't you right now just raise your hands and pray that prayer to God for yourself. Just like Jabez prayed, Lord, keep me from evil. Just like Jesus prayed for his disciples that they be kept from the evil one. Pray that for yourself right now. Make it personal. Make it personal. So much evil in the world. So much wrong going on in the world. Lord, keep me from it all. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're walking, we're operating in this world, but we're not of this world. Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from sin. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps it's that habitual sin that you're involved in. Wherever it might be, Lord, keep me from that in the name of Jesus. Perhaps it's an addiction which you find yourself in. Keep me from that evil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you just please play that song, Hallelujah, You Have Won the Victory? Just play that Jenny in the background, please. Hallelujah, You Have Won the Victory. You won it all for me. As we're praying, Lord, keep me from evil. You know what? We're praying for our victory. We're praying for our breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We're praying that in no way will the devil overcome us in Jesus' name. He's a defeated enemy. He's a defeated foe. He stays defeated in the name of Jesus. He stays subdued in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, he will try and raise his ugly head. He will try, but he will not prosper in Jesus' name. Over my life, over your life, over the life of this assembly, God will keep us from every evil in the name of Jesus. The evil of sin, the evil of death, the evil of trouble, the evil of lack. God will keep us, every one of us, in the name of Jesus. We claim the victory of the cross right now in Jesus' name. We claim the victory of the cross right now in the name of Jesus. We will live in it. We won't just talk about it. We won't just sing about it. But we will live in it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I decree in the name of Jesus that we are a victorious people. In fact, Father, thank you because, yes, we are a victorious people because you did that on the cross for us. You did that on Calvary. We are a victorious people. Father, we will live in that victory in the name of Jesus. We will live in that victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. You have done great things. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring one prayer request. I'm going to hand back to Pastor Brian. I just feel on my heart to do this. If there's anyone here, you want to know victory over an addiction you have. Now listen, I don't know what it is, okay? I'm not here to judge anyone. I am no man's judge. Let me make that very clear. I am no man's judge. I'm not here to judge you. But if there's anyone here who is under an addiction and you want to know victory, please take a step of faith and come out here. And we're going to pray for you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to ask you what it is. That's between you and God. All I want to know, all I'm eager to know is that you know victory over that addiction in the name of Jesus. All I want to know is that you just know your victory in Jesus' name. Is there anyone else? Please, people of God, this is not spectator time. Anyone? You know you have an addiction. You want to know victory over that addiction. Come out in the name of Jesus. Whatever it might be. I'm not going to say anything. Whatever it might be. Please, I beg you, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. We're not here to shame anyone. And as I said anyway, I'm not going to ask you what it is. So, that's between you and God. Not ask you what it is. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Please, Pastor Brian, let's just pray for these ones. Let's just pray for them in the name of Sister Debbie, please. Come on.
might be, in the name of Jesus. You now release in Jesus' name. You be kept from every evil, the evil of addiction. You be kept from it in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the work of the cross.